Today, we are going to continue on in this series, Overflow. And it's a series about generosity. It's a series about being generous to God as he's been generous to us. And being generous to others because God has been generous to us. And the word for our church this year that we really kind of shaped a lot of our ministry around is this word rebuild. And I think one of the things that we need to rebuild is a rhythm of generosity in our lives. Because I think for the past almost 2 years, 18 months, whatever, that we've been in this pandemic pattern, many times it's easy to fall into this trap where it's like, I'm only thinking about myself. I got to do what's best for me and my family, and I got to take care of my own house, and I'm not thinking about anybody else. And I just want you to know that's not a kingdom perspective. That's more so a cultural perspective. But God's kingdom is meant to be shared with everybody. And God desires that he not only wants to bring overflow to us, but he wants to bring an overflow through us. So I want you to realize that what God has given you is not meant to just stay with you. It's meant to actually flow through you. Amen, somebody? So we're going to go to the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. And if you're watching online, I would encourage you, man, hit the share button so that way others can be a part of this worship experience. For those of us who are in here in a moment, when you go to your seat, click the share button, send them the link to the video so that way they can worship online as well. Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, and here is what it says. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Verse 5. Simon answered him, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full. Somebody say full. Somebody say full. So full that they began to sink. So today, as we continue our series, Overflow, in part two of this series, I want to preach from this theme and thought. Don't block the flow. Don't block the flow. I want you to look at somebody right beside you, tell them, don't block the flow. Come on, type in the chat, don't block the flow. Father, we thank you for your presence and grace. Thank you, God, for who you are, all you've done. We pray in the name of Jesus, God, that as we receive your word, I pray that it would fall upon fertile hearts. Let our hearts not be hearts of stone where it just bounces off of us, but rather let us be good ground where we're not just hearers of your word, but also doers of it as well. Thank you, God, for the privilege and opportunity that you've given us to receive your word. May your kingdom come, your will be done in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Don't block the flow. Don't block the flow. Just about show of hands, how many of you guys have ever washed a car, maybe used a water hose to water your plants, maybe water your yard if you have one? Maybe you've used a water hose in some way. How many of you guys have ever used that before? Let me ask this another question. Have you ever had a moment while you may have been washing your car, maybe rinsing it off, getting the soap off, something of that nature, maybe you were watering your lawn, and then you begin to realize that water was not flowing through the end of the hose and through the nozzle? Y'all ever had that happen before? It's one of the most frustrating things, especially when you get a whole bunch of soap on your car. You're trying to wash your car, and there's nothing coming out the hose to rinse the soap off the car, and now it begins to dry up, and you got to wash it all over again. And I'm pretty sure that as you begin to do some investigative research, trying to figure out why things weren't flowing out of the water hose, maybe at some point you begin to notice that there was a knot in the water hose, a kink, if you will, in the water hose that was preventing the water from flowing out. Anybody ever had that happen before? You're trying to use it and no water was coming out. And I think that's interesting because I'm pretty sure if I were to ask this question, have you ever felt like there were moments in your life where things weren't flowing the way that they were supposed to, or the things that you were hoping that they would flow? I'm pretty sure if I asked that question, many of our hands would go up. where you were hoping that things would flow and move a certain way, only to realize that there was some blockage somewhere that was preventing the flow of what you were hoping would easily move through your life. Maybe it was some relational harmony. Maybe it was something on your job. Maybe it's something in your finances. Maybe it's something in your career. I don't know what it is. But I believe that all of us have been in a place where you were hoping and expecting things to flow only to find out that there was something causing a disruption of flow in your life where nothing was working. Things were falling apart. Nothing was happening the way that you envisioned. I think probably over the past 18 months, there has been many things that have happened over this past 18 months where we have seen that there has been a disruption in flow. When the world shut down in March of 2020, in many ways, there was a disruption of flow in some way. How many of you guys, your lives, you had it one thing imagined for 2020 and maybe even 2021, and your plans got ruined? The flow was disrupted. Things weren't moving the way that you intended that they would move. And here in the book of Luke chapter 5, we see this picture of when things aren't flowing. The Bible says here in Luke chapter 5, around verse 1, that the people, the crowds were crowding around Jesus as he's teaching the word. And I find that to be a very fascinating scene because I believe that it is something that all of us should embody and strive for. This whole aspect of whenever the word is going forth, that we should have a hunger and thirst for it. That do we crowd to hear the word of God? Do we make room in our life to hear the word of God, to start our day with the word of God? Do we make every effort to hear the word of God like we do to go to Netflix and watch the latest show? Do we make it a priority in some way? I love this because the people were hungry for the word. And one of the things that God promises for those who are hungry and thirsty in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, he says, those who thirst and hunger for righteousness shall be filled. The principle is that we should make every effort to receive from God. We should make every effort to hear God's word. But in the midst of Jesus teaching the people, something troubling is present. Because when Jesus steps on the scene, there's a lot of kind of feedback over here in this speaker right here. But when Jesus steps onto the scene and he steps into this fisherman area in the Sea of Galilee, the Bible says that he begins to notice these boats that belong to a few fishermen. And the scene is when he steps onto the boats or sees the boats, he sees a few things. There's empty boats. In other words, there's nothing in there and there's no one in there. And not only are there empty boats, but then there's also the empty nets of the fishermen. And the way that we know that is because the Bible says that when Jesus sees these two boats that belong to fishermen, they were washing their nets, which means not only were the nets empty, not only were the boats empty, but their nets were empty as well. I find it to be very interesting because one of the things that we see all throughout Scripture is constant principles of emptiness. Constant opportunities or constant passages of Scripture where there is something that's lacking, where there's something that should be present and is not present. And here in this scene, it's no different because these fishermen, and as we read this text in a few moments, we find out that these fishermen by the name of Simon, who's also known as Peter, you may know him as, James and John, these fishermen who fish for a livelihood have caught nothing. There's nothing in their nets. There's nothing in their boats at all. And they're going through this moment where they're more than likely frustrated because they've been striving, they've been stressing, they're exhausted, they haven't caught anything. Things were dry. And y'all got to understand, the one thing that these brothers know how to do very well is fish. They know how to catch fish. They know how to throw out the bait. They know what bait works for what fish. They know the best times to fish and the best times not to fish. They know where to fish and where not to fish. How many of you guys love to fish in here? No hands. Okay, maybe just one. Awesome. Glad to know I'm not alone because I do not like the fish. I know nothing about fishing, but I like fish and the way they taste. I like the fact that some people like the fish so that way I can benefit from the people that fish. But the one thing that these brothers know how to do is they know how to fish. If there's one thing that they're good at, it's fishing. And the frustrating part is here, they've been working all night, as the Bible would tell us, but they're catching nothing. And I believe, church family, online family, that just as these brothers were fishing and caught nothing after their effort, it reveals a subtle truth that I need us all to understand. That in our own strength, catch this and do not miss this, when we lean on our own strength, when we lean on our own selves, it will oftentimes lead to failure. When we trust in our own ability, when we say, I don't need God, we just sang about the presence of the Holy Spirit and how we need Him to fill us. And when we say, I don't need the Holy Spirit, when we say, I don't need God's wisdom, when we say, I can just do this all on my own, it always leads to failure and stress and frustration and fatigue, and we will end up feeling like a failure. Let me say it like this. I want you to write this down. That our stressing is often the result of our striving. The things that you and I are probably most stressed about, we have probably talked to God the least about. The things that we spend so much time losing sleep about, question I want to ask us is, have we really invited God into that space? Or are we trusting in our own selves? The Bible says it like this, that they that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. By the way, that's a biblical team right there. The Eagles fan. I try to follow the scriptures. That they that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint, which means this, that when they trust in the Lord, they experience a peace, a strength, and a flow. But the opposite is also true, that they that don't wait on the Lord will not renew their strength. They will not mount up on wings like eagles. They will oftentimes be weary. Because what happens is when you and I decide that we don't need God and we trust in our own ability and in our own strength and in our own resources, it will lead to frustration, it will lead to fatigue, and it will lead to us feeling like a failure because you and I are trusting in ourselves. And just like there can be an obstruction to the water flowing from the source if you're washing your car or watering a plant, just like there's nothing wrong with the source. The water is flowing out. The problem is there's a knot somewhere that's disrupting the flow, that's breaking the flow, that's interfering with the flow. There can also be obstructions in our life that keep us from experiencing the fullness that God has for us. But here's the good news. In the midst of there being a blockage of flow for these men, where their boats are filled with nothing and their nets are filled with nothing, I love what Jesus does. Here's what the Bible says. Notice what it says. Verse 3, he saw at the water's edge these two boats, empty boats, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Verse 3, he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. He got into one of the boats. I want y'all to see what's happening here. He got into the empty boats. The thing that was once empty, Jesus has stepped in and filled. I thought y'all would get that. Jesus has an incredible way of stepping into areas and places in our lives that are empty. Jesus has an impeccable track record from Genesis to Revelation of stepping into empty situations where there is no hope, where there is no joy, where there is no peace, where there is no love. Jesus has a strange way of stepping in to empty moments. Those moments when you feel empty, those moments when you are in lack, those moments where you are in need, those moments when you are frustrated, those moments where you are fatigued. And I just want to know, has anybody ever seen Jesus step into some of your empty moments in your life? Has anybody ever seen Jesus show up when things were bad? Has anybody ever seen Jesus do something incredible that you didn't even think was possible? Come on online. Has anybody ever seen Jesus step into empty moments? And you ought to praise God for the fact that even when things were empty, Jesus found the empty moments and he stepped in the midst of the empty moments. And when Jesus steps in empty things, he always gives us the way to experience fullness and overflow. How can he always give us the way? Because the Bible says in John 14:6, he says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. I am the way. So the reason why he can give the way is because he is the way. So in other words, Jesus, when he steps into empty moments, he says, listen, if you do it my way, you'll experience overflow. You'll experience fullness. And the way that he invites us to experience overflow is this, by trusting him, by obeying him, by following his word. Trusting him, following him. Matter of fact, let me just boil it down to this word, obedience. Somebody say obedience. By obeying him. And please hear me when I say this. We don't obey in order for us to get Jesus to love us. He already loves us. So because he loves us, we choose to obey. Do y'all see the difference? One is striving to earn his love. The other one obeys because of his love. So I don't obey to get God to love me. I obey him because he loves me. That's the difference between performance-based spirituality and performance-based relationship and one that's grace-centered. The Bible says it like this in 1 John. We love because he first loved us. And you know what Jesus says about love in the book of John, around chapter 14, chapter 15? He says this, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. So if you love me, you obey me. And there's this sneaky little suspect theology permeating our culture right now that says you can love Jesus and not obey him. Oh, we're under grace now, so we don't have to follow what Jesus says. Paul says it like this, you don't understand what grace is if you say that. He says, no. If you love me, then you obey me. You'll follow what I tell you to do. And do you want to know the thing that's contributing maybe to some of us experiencing a lack of overflow in our life? It's not because of the devil. It's not even because of God. Because remember, just like when we are using a water hose, the issue is not the source. The water's coming out. The issue is that there's a disruption in the hose. And do you know what that disruption is in the hose of our life, if you will? Disobedience. Do you know what tangles up our life? Disobedience. This is why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us throw off the sin that so easily entangles us. So in other words, disobedience causes us to be tangled up. And what obedience does is it allows us to be detangled. So it is through our obedience that a detangling takes place, that an unknotting takes place. How do we know this? Because look at what verse 4:5 says. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water, let down the nets for a catch. And watch what Simon says in verse 5. Master, we worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. Jesus, fam, I hear what you're saying, but man, we've been fishing all night. While you were asleep, we were fishing. We ain't caught nothing. Ain't no grouper out here. Ain't no salmon. No trout. Flounder, ain't nothing out here. We've caught nothing. And we kind of know what we're doing. We kind of know what we're doing. Anybody ever try to tell God how you should be doing things? I know it's tough for us to admit. But have you ever had a moment where God told you to do something? You're like, nah. And you knew in your heart of hearts what God was telling you to do, but you're like, nah, I'll try it another way. Anybody ever had that happen? Only me? Thank y'all for being so honest. I feel so free and liberated in here. But notice what Peter says. He says, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. Jesus tells Simon to drop their nets. Watch this. For a catch of fish. Now, I need y'all to understand this. I'm trying to teach you right now before we kind of get to the meat of this. Look at the time of day when he tells them to drop the nets. It's not nighttime. Because remember, they've been fishing all night. It's during the day. And any skilled fisherman in this first century Greco-Roman context knows that you don't catch large sums of fish in the day. You catch them at night. So for Jesus to be saying, hey, throw down your net, they're like, fam, it's not even the right time of day to do that. That doesn't even make sense. But then Jesus takes it a step further. He says, don't only throw your net down, throw it into the deep. Where any skilled fisherman back in that day and time also knows, not only do you not fish during the day, you also don't fish in the deep. You fish closer to the shore because that's oftentimes where the fish are feeding. So none of this makes sense on the surface that Jesus is telling Simon to do. Simon Peter has to be thinking, this don't make sense. This goes against my training. We didn't learn this in fisherman wharf school. This doesn't make sense, Jesus. You're telling me to put it out in the deep. You're telling me to fish during the day. But I think the principle that Jesus is trying to help him understand is I'm calling you to a deeper place, Simon. I want to take you to a deeper level of understanding, Simon. I want to do something great in your life, Simon. And I want to take you to a greater place. And Simon Peter has a decision to make. Either I'm going to follow his instruction, I'm going to obey, or I'm not. I'm going to either follow or I'll forsake. And I believe that God brought you and I here today and had you log in online because he's calling you to a deeper place in him. And do you know what the key to experiencing a deeper place in him is? Whether you will obey or disobey. Because there are certain things that God will not do for you that he's called you to do. So God is not going to forgive the other person for you when he calls you to do that. He's like, I already forgave them on the cross. It's your turn. There are certain things that God puts the ball in our court that we have responsibility over, that he's called us to do. And we have to make the decision as to whether or not we're going to follow his instruction or not. And that is the difference between people who experience overflow or people who walk away with empty nets. I like what Darius Daniel says. He says this, God, watch this, write this down, God will often let you live on the level you settle for. Ha. He will oftentimes let you live on the level that you settle for. In other words, God says it like this. Jesus says it like this in the book of Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm not going to come and bust down the door. It's on you to open it up. There are certain things that God only calls us to do that he will not do for us. So could it be that the reason why we're not experiencing overflow in different areas of our life is not because God doesn't have overflow for us? It's because we're not following his plan to experience the overflow. And that's what today is all about. Will you trust and obey what he's calling you to do in his word and in what he's speaking to you daily? I want you to notice what Simon Peter's response is. In spite of the obstacle of not catching anything the night before, notice what the Bible says. Because you say so, I will let down the nets. And I believe that God is looking for some people online and in person who will have this mentality. This doesn't make sense to me. This doesn't add up. But because you say so, Jesus, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make mathematical sense. It doesn't make natural sense. It doesn't make financial sense. It doesn't make relational sense. But because you tell me to do it, I'm going to do it. Because you said it, I'm going to do it. And Simon is obedient to the word of Jesus. But not only is he obedient, this is what I want to lean into today as we talk about this generosity series. I want you to see not only that he's obedient, I want you to see how he's obedient. Because Simon isn't just obedient for obedience sake. He's obedient to Jesus pertaining to his possessions, his boat and his net. You know what this represents? His livelihood, his resources, his finances. Peter offered his boat to be used by Jesus to teach the crowd. Peter obediently offered his nets for what Jesus told him to do by dropping them down. He's bringing his livelihood. He's bringing his resources. He's bringing them all to Jesus. He submits what he has to the word of Jesus. So he's not just obedient, y'all. He's obedient specifically in the area of his resources, even though it doesn't make sense. And I want to say this, that the call to be obedient to God and to be generous, it does not make sense naturally. It does not make sense culturally because it's oftentimes looked at as losing something that is valuable. And because of that, we are not always inclined to share what's in our hands. Here's what one pastor says. He says it like this. I want you to catch this. He says, God made all of his creation to give. He made the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds, the earth, the plants to give. He also designed his supreme creation, man, to give. Watch this. But fallen man is the most reluctant giver in all of God's creation. The plants don't have no problem giving. The sun has no problem giving. The stars have no problem giving. The moon has no problem giving. But my goodness, humanity, us humans, us men, us women, us kids, boy, we get stingy. It's real tight in here right now. We get real short when it comes to us giving. Oh, we love to receive. Come on. How many of y'all like to receive gifts? Christmas is coming. And look, you can say all you want, like, I ain't looking for no gift, but then you be looking under the Christmas tree. Hey. We all love to receive. There's nothing wrong with receiving. The question is, do we love to give as much or even, if not more? Because Jesus does say these words, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. But we struggle with this. Because on the surface, it doesn't make sense. But I want to say this. Obedience doesn't require understanding. It requires faith. Obedience don't require understanding. There are certain things that we tell our kids to do that don't make sense to them. And there's some explanations I'm just not going to give you, son. Come on, parents. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Just because you ask why don't mean I'm going to give you a reason. You know what the reason is going to be today? Because I said so. It's not bad parenting, because God even does stuff like that in the scriptures where people are oftentimes asking him, why is this happening? Why is that happening? God oftentimes doesn't give an explanation. So I don't need understanding to obey. I need faith. And what Peter had here, he had no understanding. This does not make sense what I'm doing. It's daytime. We've been fishing all night. We've caught nothing, but you want me to fish right now in the middle of the day and in the middle of the sea? None of this makes any sense whatsoever. But because you say so, I will do it. And I believe that God is calling us to go deeper in faith in him and obedience to him, specifically in this area of generosity. And Peter, watch what the text says, was obedient to Jesus. And what happens? Verse 6, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that what happened? Their nets began, the nets that were empty, they caught such a large number of fish, but now all of a sudden, that which was empty has now been filled. When you go to verse 7, look at what verse 7 says. So they signaled their partners. In the Greek, that word signal actually means to nod. So it's, in the Greek, that's literally what it means, to nod. They gave the signal. They ain't saying nothing. They gave a signal. And it says they nodded or they signaled to their partners in the other boats, the other empty boats, to come and help them. And they came, watch this, and filled both boats. So what? Come on, say it with me, class. So what? So full that they began to sink. How did this happen? What led to this? One man's obedience and offering up his resources to Jesus. That there was blockage that was present where there was no flow of fish, but what allowed Peter to experience overflow was his obedience to the word of Jesus. Because you say so. Because you say so. His obedient response to Jesus reveals something powerful about obedience. Specifically when it comes to us being obedient with our generosity and our giving of our resources to God, that there's an overflow that God allows us to experience. Here's one dynamic of his overflow. Number one, when we are obedient through our generosity and our generous acts to God, it leads to an overflow of provision. It leads to this overflow of provision. I want you to notice here how both the nets and the boats began to overflow. The very things that Peter gave to Jesus that were empty have now been filled. Because of what? Obedience. He gave him his resources. Both the notes that were, both the items, the possessions, the boats and the nets that were empty, Jesus now more than fills them, he overflows them. And here's the principle. I want you to write this down. The principle is this, that whatever we give to God, he will always give back to us in a greater way. This is a biblical principle and precept that we see all throughout Scripture. I like what Pastor Chris Johnson said last week. He says it like this, obedience leads to overflow. So here's a prophetic question I want to ask us that I want us to think about, and I want you to think about it online as well. How much overflow are we missing in our lives because of our lack of obedience to God through being generous to God? Like, some of us have been praying, God, would you bring me increase? He's like, well, why don't you bring me what you have first? But you can't say amen, say ouch. This ain't one of them wild sermons. This is an owl sermon today. Some of us have been praying for financial increase. God, financial breakthrough, would you do this? Would you do that? He said, all right, cool. First, bring me what I've already given you. Put it in my hands. Because you can't expect me to multiply something that you don't honor me with. You want me to put my name on something that you don't even submit to my name. And we often want overflowing lives with closed hands. We want overflow in our lives, but we live like this. And here's the thing, do y'all see this? If you live like this, not only is nothing getting out, but nothing is coming in. And this is how we live our lives. We live our lives holding on to things so tightly, holding on to what we have so tightly, not realizing and forgetting that the earth is the Lord's and that everything that we have actually came from God. He's the one who gave us the strength to be able to earn wealth. He's the one who provided for us. He's the one who made a way out of no way. He's the one who gave us the job to be able to get the resources that we have, to be able to buy the house or the apartment that we live in, to be able to buy the car that we drive, to be able to buy the food from Walmart or Target that's in our refrigerator and in our houses and in our pantry, to be able to buy the towels that we use to dry ourselves off, to be able to buy the gas that we put into the car that He blessed us with, that He blessed us with the resources to be able to He is the one who gave us all that, but we live like this. And here's the question I want to ask us. I'm asking you a whole lot of questions today. Do you want to have empty nets or sinking boats in your life? Do you want to have empty nets where you catch nothing? Or do you want to have overflowing boats because there's such an abundance of overflow in your life? It's not rocket science for me. I know what I want. I don't want emptiness. I want overflowing and sinking boats. And God has promised that when we submit what we have to Him, when we give to Him faithfully, He always brings forth provision. This is a principle that you see all throughout the Scripture. There's one Scripture in the book of the book of Malachi. It's the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. I want to go there for a few moments. And this is a Scripture that can oftentimes be misinterpreted. It's been one that has been used to manipulate and things of this nature. And unfortunately, because of that, this Scripture has gotten a bad rap. But here's what I understand. This is the Scripture of God. Though people may twist Scripture, it does not change the fact that Scripture is Scripture. We just need to understand it appropriately so we can apply it rightly. So here's what the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 7 through 10 says. We got it for you on the screen, and I'm going to flip there really quick. Here's what it says, verse 7. It says, ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how are we robbing you? And tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. This is the only time in Scripture where you would see God say, test me. Test me in this. Watch what He says next. And see if I would not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there would not be room enough to store it. I will throw open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough. Doesn't that sound like overflow? Doesn't that sound like what's happening here in Luke chapter 5? That when we bring to God what rightfully belongs to Him, it leads to overflow. It leads to increase. It leads to provision. Here's what a tithe was in the Old Testament that you see. A tithe was a tenth of people's increase, of income that God had called His people to give in response to what He had given them. In other words, they would give 10% of all their resources. So what does that look like for us today? It means that we give a tenth of our income to God. In the Old Testament, it was through the temple. In the New Testament, we give to God through the church. That's the biblical precept and principle that you see all throughout Scripture. And this is oftentimes a very difficult thing, and this kind of starts to mess with us a little bit. And it's not because God isn't good, it's because oftentimes we've been so tricked by the enemy and we've been maybe misguided by this idol called money. You know what Jesus calls it in Matthew chapter 6? Manna, or mammon rather. He says you can't serve both God and money or mammon because you will love one and hate the other. And so the reason why we give to God is because it allows money and resources to not have a grip on our heart, where the only one who should have a grip on our heart is the grace of God. And when we hold from God what we should give to God, we block the flow of what he wants to bring in our lives. Here's what Matthew 6, 19 says. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So let me say it like this. How you and I give to God reveals how you and I see God and appreciate God. What we give to God shows how we view God. So if I give him scraps, it shows how I view him. If I give him my best, it shows that I view him that way. In the book of Genesis, around chapter 3, chapter 4, there were two guys, two brothers by the name of Cain and Abel. Both of them brought an offering to God. You know which one God blessed? He blessed Abel. Why? Not because Abel was better than Cain, but because Abel brought the best of what he had to God, whereas Cain brought leftovers. And the question I want to ask us is this. If God has really been this good to you and I, why would we shortchange him? God has given us the greatest gift in the form of his son, Jesus. You know, the reason why we give our best is because God in Christ gave us his. We love because he first loved us. We give because he first gives to us. I saw this picture floating around on the internet that some of us maybe have seen over some time. It's this picture, I think we got it up on the screen, but it's this picture of Jesus and he's having this conversation with this little girl, and the conversation goes where he's asking her for the teddy bear that she has on her hand. And she's obviously clinging on to it. But I love it, God. I love what I have. And it's almost to say, do you love it more than you love me? Right? But what she doesn't see is that Jesus has something greater for her on the other side of her obedience. That if you will give me this thing that you think you love a whole lot, I got something better for you on the other side. And the principle is when we give to God what belongs to him that he's given to us, when we give to God what we have, on the other side, he has something much greater. He has overflow. And I believe part of the reason why we're missing out on the overflow in our life is because we won't simply give to God. I want to say it like this. I want you to say it like this. Write this down. Bring back to God what belongs to God, and you'll experience more from God. Bring back to God what belongs to God, and you'll experience more from God. How many of y'all want more from God? That should be like everybody's hand going up. Like, we all want more from God. You know what the key is? Bring back to him what belongs to him. And this is a principle. This is not even just about money at this point. This is in every area of my life. If you want a marriage that's flourishing, bring it to God. If you want a household that's flourishing, bring it to God. If you want a career that flourishes and that overflows, bring it to God. How often do we pray about increase? How often do we pray about the job that we're thinking about taking? Do we just apply and then say, God bless it? Or do we say, God, would you lead me and guide me to the place that you want me to be? Because I don't want to be outside of your will. Because I don't want to be outside of the place that you want me to be. Because if I'm not where you want me to be, things aren't going to flow the way that you want them to flow. But I want to be where you want me to be. It's about putting him first and giving him what rightfully belongs to him. One person says it like this, Randy Alcorn, he says it like this, the more you give, the more comes back to you because God is the greatest giver in the universe and he won't let you outgive him. Old church will say it like this, you can't beat God's giving no matter how hard you try. That when we give to God what belongs to him, like Simon, when we offer our nets to him, and some of us, I get it, some of us are looking at what you have and you're like, man, that's not a whole lot. Peter offered an empty net and an empty boat to Jesus, and Jesus filled it. It don't take a whole lot for God to do a whole lot. Have you forgotten that he fed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread? Have you forgotten that he made us out of nothing? He don't need a lot to do a lot. He just needs our faith, our trust. So he not only overflows provision, but he also overflows perspective. Because when you look continuously in this text, notice what happens. After this large sum of fish come, notice what Peter says. He says, the Bible says, he fell at the knees of Jesus. And not only does he fall at the knees of Jesus, he says these words, "Go away from me, Lord." Verse 8, "I am a sinful man." I'm a sinful man. He has a perspective of Jesus that he would not have seen or understood had he not first given to Jesus. In other words, because of his obedience to Jesus, he sees Jesus for who he is. When we give to God and when we put him first, it allows us to be able to see God for who he is. Notice in the Bible, verse 5. Notice what Peter says, verse 5. He says this, "Master," somebody say master. But by the time he gets to verse 8, notice what he says, "Lord." He goes from master to Lord. What was the difference? His obedience positioned him to see Jesus in a greater way. Do you know what your obedience and my obedience does? It allows us to be able to see God in a greater way. It allows us to see that we don't deserve the abundance that God has given us. It allows us to see that we haven't earned what God has given us. It allows us to be able to see that God has been good even when we have not been good. It allows us to be able to see that God has been faithful even when we're not faithful. It allows us to be able to see that God is the source of all of our provision, that he is the source behind the resource, that the reason why we have what we have is not because of our own strength, it's because of him. It allows us to be able to see that he is who he is. You know what's interesting? The fish didn't just miraculously appear. They were always in the lake. The problem was Peter didn't have vision and the perspective of God to see it. But when we obey God, it allows us to be able to see things that God wants to show us. So here's what Isaiah chapter 55 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways." This is the Lord's declaration. "For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." And when we give to God, we begin to see things in a greater way. When we give to God, write this down, we see that he is the source behind our resource. I can't tell you how many times, family, that when my family and I, and even through the years when I was early young adult years, early 20s, and made the decision to submit myself to God and to give to God, whether it was through tithing, whether it was through my abilities, whether it was through my resources, I began to see God in ways that I had never seen him before. God began to give me revelation in ways that I'd never seen before. He allowed me to see different dimensions of himself that I'd never seen before. And many of us want to see God in a greater way. And I want to ask you, how much are you willing to be obedient to see it? Are you willing to step out of the boat? Are you willing to do the things that God has called you to do to be able to see it? But it not only leads to perspective. Here's the last thing I want to say, then we're done. It allows us to be able to see purpose. Because when we follow him, and when we submit what we have to him, it allows us to be able to experience his purpose that he has for us. Notice what verses 10 through 11 says. "And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people.' So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him." I want you to see that Peter's obedience to Jesus, what it leads to. It leads to Simon Peter and the others receiving not just an overflow of provision and perspective, but an overflow of purpose. Jesus gives them a greater purpose. And you know what this greater purpose is? He says, "Y'all were catching fish for a living, and you weren't really doing that good of a job. So I stepped in. But now I'm going to give you a greater purpose. That no longer will you fish for fish. Now you will fish or catch people." What does he mean by that? "I'm going to use you to turn the world upside down. I'm going to use you to lead people to me. I'm going to teach you how to fish for souls, Peter, so that way in Acts chapter 2, when I go back to heaven after I've died on the cross and resurrected and I send my Holy Spirit down, Peter, the same Peter who would see this incredible catch of fish in Acts chapter 2 some years later or some times later after he's had failures and after he's had setbacks and after he's been disobedient, he would then be restored by Jesus to preach in the book of Acts chapter 2. And when he would preach, 3,000 people would be caught up in the gospel. Because Jesus wants to give you and I a greater purpose. Because when you and I finally say yes to Jesus, especially in the form of our generosity, when we finally give what he has given us in the form of our resources. When we submit to him what he's given to us, it opens us up to a lifestyle of purpose. It opens us up to a journey of purpose, to a journey of destiny. And some of us are living frustrated lives right now because you really don't know why you exist. You really don't know what it is that you're supposed to be doing with your life. You think you go to your job and you work this 9 to 5, but you're not really fulfilled. Let's just call it what it is. You're looking at the clock. You're waiting for the day to end. You're even trying to get off early if you can. God says, I have so much more for you than that. I haven't worked you just to work a 9 to 5 job. Just like Peter, I didn't make you just to catch fish. I made you to catch people. I made you to make a difference. And Jesus is saying the same thing to you and I today, that I've made you to make a difference. I made you to point people to me. Because the overflow that God has for us is meant to flow not just to us, but through us. I want you to realize that the increase that God wants to bring in your life is not just for you. It's meant to flow through you. It's meant to get to some other people. Let me say it like this, that we're not called to be containers of God's generosity, but conduits of it. It's not meant to stay with us. It's meant to flow through us. And when we follow Jesus' way in obeying him through our giving and through our generosity, it positions us to see the purpose of God. And I want you to see what Simon and the other brothers do. They caught this massive amount of fish. It was probably the greatest catch of fish that they ever had in their life. Do you know what they do? They go cash on it. They go cash in on it. They go to the nearest market and they sell all the fish. They become millionaires and they retire at 30. That's not what the Bible says. Bible says that they left everything and followed him because they recognize that this overflow is bigger than me. It's about what God wants to do through me. I want to close with this. I saw this video recently from very well-known Christian hip-hop artist. His name is KB. We got this video clip that I want to show us that I hope will really capture the essence of what God wants to do, not just in us, but also do through us and how we give to him through our time, through our talents, our abilities, but also through our treasures, through our financial generosity to him, through the church, by blessing other people. I want you to see and hear this story from this brother about how it really means to live this life of overflow. Check this video out.
Amen. I was 16 years old when somebody gave me a Christian hip-hop CD. It had a dude on the front cover. He had dreadlocks like mine, had a red bandana going across his forehead, a red bandana going across his mouth, and the album was called Bloody Streets. And the dude that gave it to me told me it was Christian rap. I said, listen, bro, I have no degree at Lifeway Christian Bookstores, but this is not Christian rap. This man's about to rob a bank. He said, no, this is Christian hip-hop. You take it home. I was in a dark, dark place. I took that album home. I listened to the album front to back, and the 8th song was a gospel presentation, and I believed on Jesus listening to that album, and I've been walking with him ever since. And I vowed to the Lord Jesus that I would spend my life trying to reproduce that moment for people all over the world like it happened to me. And it just dawned on me, the gentleman behind me, Wes, who helped me to create this project, heard my album several years ago, believed on Jesus, and now he's helping me make records. So now, this is your moment, brother.
Praise God, praise God. Yeah, 10 years ago, this brother released his debut album, Waiting Glory, and a friend of mine at work gave it to me, and it changed my life. I believed on Jesus when I heard that album. And I just want to say I'm a living, breathing testimony that God is working through this music. So this award is for all of us, all of the artists out there that continue to refuse to take Jesus out of your music so that you can be more successful. We see you and God sees you. Hey, God loves Christian rap, and I think y'all should too. Thank you.
This is for Christian hip-hop, baby.
Come on, man, look, come on, man, I love that because it speaks of how God does a work in us so he can do a work through us. So you got this brother KB who just gets a Dove Award, and now he's been actually nominated for multiple Grammy Awards for his album, His Glory, For His Glory Alone. I think that's what it's called, something like that. Don't quote me. It's on Spotify, Apple Music. Go find it. But this brother who says, Jesus, I'm gonna lay my gifts down at your feet because somebody else did the same and it led me to you. I'm gonna lay my resources down at your feet. I'm gonna lay my time at your feet. I'm gonna lay my abilities at your feet so that way others can be impacted by the gospel just like I was. And Homedew behind him experienced the same thing. And now they're working on projects together so that more can experience. Do y'all see the principle of overflow here? That it's not just about what God wants to do in me. And man, if I could just get us to detach from this theology that it's all about me and this understanding that it's all about me and that God just wants my money and just God wants to do this. No, there's so much that God wants to get to you, but there's also things that God wants to do through you so that others can come to know him. Because of Peter's obedience here, he experiences a large catch of fish in Luke 5. But this act of obedience to Jesus here sets him up to see a large catch of people in Acts 2 with 3,000 people coming to Christ. The question I just want to ask you is this. Will you be willing to obey God so that way you can stop blocking the flow? And maybe some of us right here, man, you just need to be honest. Like, man, I've been blocking the flow. I'm in the way. I'm not submitting myself to Christ. Blocking the flow. It's not that God doesn't have more. He's just waiting on us to be obedient. And the question I want to ask is, are you ready to take that step to experience more in you, through you? Another reason why we're doing Canaan Palooza across the street in a few moments is because we recognize it's not about us. It's about Jesus and other people knowing him. And that if God can use a rap album to save somebody's soul, he can use a small piece of Starburst Red Flavor, because that's the best one. Red Flavor Starburst to save somebody too. So we offer up what he's given us, no matter how small it may be, no matter how insignificant it may be. Let me help you understand something. Whenever you place your best in God's hand, no matter the size of it, he always multiplies it. He uses it for his glory. And for some of us, that is the call that God is calling you to. Some of us have been following Jesus for years. And in this area, you've been obedient in other areas. Maybe you're forgiving people, but when it comes to giving, man, you're not doing that well. I'm just keeping it a buck with us and just being honest. Like, you don't do that. You give to God whenever you feel like it. Oh, God loves a cheerful giver and this, that, and the third. And God knows my heart. You're right. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. So you've been obeying God in some areas, but you haven't been obeying God in this area. And man, how much overflow are you missing out on because you have not taken that step of obedience? What does that look like for us as a church? It means that we begin to say, God, we're going to give you what's rightfully yours. I'm going to give to you beginning at a level of 10%. I'm going to give. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to try this thing out. I'm going to trust you with this. Maybe you got giving down pat. Maybe you're faithful in that, but you don't use your time for Jesus because it's given to your job all the time. Maybe it's your abilities. I don't know what it is, but I believe all of us have room to grow in this area where God is saying, would you submit what you have to me? Would you stop blocking the flow? And if we would just say, you know what, Jesus, I surrender it all to you. I'm going to be obedient because the proper response to the God who gives is to give to God. To give to God. So today, I want us to make the decision where we're going to put God first in our finances. We're going to put God first in our marriage. We're going to put God first in our relationships. We're going to put God first in our career. We're going to stop trying to be the captain of our own life and let him begin to drive our life. I'm going to ask us the question again. How many of y'all want overflow? You want it. And God wants you to have it. And you know what's on the other side of that? Obedience. And so just with heads bowed and eyes closed here today, some of you, you're here, you're watching online. God wants to bring you overflow, but you'll never experience overflow until you first bring what he's calling you to bring to him. Maybe that is your finances. Maybe today is the day where you need to begin giving to God. Whatever it is. But maybe for you, it's not even that. It's, I need to bring him my heart. I need to bring him my life. Because you've been trying to do life your own, on your own account. You've been trying to do life your own way, and it has led to nothing fruitful whatsoever. Your life has been empty, just like these boats. Your life has been empty, just like these nets. You've been trying to fill it. You've been trying to fill this. You've been trying to fill that, only to realize that you've never been fulfilled. You've never been satisfied. But today, Jesus is saying, if you would just bring your life to me, bring the empty nets of your life to me, bring the empty boats of your life to me, I will fill it. I will satisfy it. I will overflow it. And for some of you, that is what you need to do today. You need to say yes to Jesus. You need to give your life to Christ. So my head's bowed and the eyes are closed. If this is you and you're saying, I need to give my life to Jesus, whether you're online or in person, you're saying, I need to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender to him. I want to put my faith and trust in him. I want to give him my love. I want to give him my commitment. I want to give him my heart. On the count of three, my head's bowed and eyes are closed. I just want you to shoot your hand up just so I can see you just in this moment. Just be honest. If this is you, you want to give your life to Jesus today, shoot your hand up on the count of three. One, two, three. You want to give your life to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. So if this is you, you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus, would you repeat these words after me? It is a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of commitment. It is a prayer of confession. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose from the grave to give me life. Thank you for life. Thank you for your love. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Come on, church family, can we put our hands together for all those who said yes to Christ online and in person? Come on. We saw some hands go up today. That's what it's all about. People saying yes to Jesus today. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, you said yes to Jesus online, or maybe you said that prayer here in person, here's what I'm going to ask us to do. For those of us who are in person, here's what I want us to do. I want you to grab that connection card that's in the seat pocket in front of you. As a matter of fact, if we could all just do that, just for the sake of those who are coming to Christ today so nobody feels left out or feels awkward, but grab that connection card. I want you to check on the box, I'm committing my life to Christ today. And fill that card out. Drop that in the drop box on your way out so that way we can follow up with you and share some next steps as to how you can grow in your faith. We believe that today is the beginning of an incredible start of your new journey in Christ Jesus. Amen, somebody. Amen. Amen. And also, if this is your first time, if you could fill out that connection card as well, we would love just to send you an email and a welcome letter just telling you thanks for being with us. Fill that out. Drop that in the drop box on your way out so that way we can follow up with you. But as we close this service, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we're in this series of overflow, and we're talking about generosity. And one of the things that oftentimes, you know, doesn't get talked about in a biblical way is this topic of giving. It's this topic of money. It's sometimes misconstrued. It's sometimes misunderstood. But here's the thing. Jesus talked more about money than he did heaven and hell combined in the scripture, which shows us, man, that there's something there that we really need to release to God. And this series is all about us being generous. And the greatest way that we can be generous when it comes to our finances, the best starting place is to give to God in a way that he says, which is to give to him through his local church. And I want to say thank you, church family, for honoring God with your generosity so that way the mission of Jesus through our church can continue, so that way we can meet the spiritual and tangible needs of people in our church, in our community, so that way all the essential functions of our church can continue to function for us to be able to reach people. So for some of you guys today online in person, today might be your first day where you begin to tithe. Today might be the first day where you begin this new journey. And I want to encourage you and let you know this, that man, on the other side of your obedience, there's overflow. That if you trust God in this way, I'm not telling you this as a gimmick. I'm not telling you this as some type of charade. I'm telling you what I know because I've lived it. I've experienced it. We've been doing it for years, and God has never not been faithful to his promise. Anybody know what I'm talking about in here? Anybody can say, I've been given to God, and he has brought overflow into my life. So I want to invite you on that journey today. And we make it really simple. You can give online on our website. You can use the envelope, whatever is easy for you to give. But I want you to start that journey today. Let us begin to bring to him what rightfully belongs to him. Amen, somebody. Let's all stand to our feet as we prepare to be dismissed. Tell the person beside you, it's so good to see you. Type in the chat. Man, it was so good to be here today. So good to be here. And in a few moments at 12 noon, we can't wait to jump off with Candy Palooza happening across the street. And so for those of us who are here, you might want to just hang out for a little bit. We'll have music outside. You can hang out and just chat with a few people. We'll have everything set up over there so that way we can get things kicked off at 12 o'clock. If you need to go get some candy, you could always get it and come bring it back. We would be greatly appreciative for that. But once again, thank you, church family, for your continued generosity so that way we can make a difference in the lives of other people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for who you are. We thank you that you have been generous to us, and in return, we're going to be generous to you. You have given to us, and in return, we're going to give to you. So God, we bring to you whatever is in our hand. You know the amount. You know what it takes. And so, Lord, we trust you with it. We give you our best, no matter the amount of it. It is our best. Would you use it? Would you bless it? Would you bring increase to it? And we receive the overflow that you've promised us to experience as a result of it. I pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters online and in person. I pray for those of us right now who are struggling, who are dealing with a myriad of situations right now, health, mental, emotional, relational, financial, whatever it is. I pray for overflow to happen even now in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, for breakthroughs to happen in Jesus' name. I pray right now in Jesus' name that where there have been empty nets, that they will begin to see broken nets because there's an abundance and there's a harvest in their life. That where there's been empty boats, that they will begin to see sinking boats because of your overwhelming grace and love. Would you bless them? Would you cover them? Would you be with them? Be with us as we leave this place, but never your presence. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Amen. God bless y'all, church family. Love y'all. Hell, have an awesome week. We'll see you at Candy Palooza.